Well, there was an article in the New York Times this week that caught my eye. It was about generational gaps in the workplace. Generation Zs, so those around the age of 25, born between 1997 and 2012 is the marker, that they're driving change in the workplace and dictating new ways of doing things. It's encouraging their elders to change their long-standing work habits. Well, here with me now is digital cultural trend analyst Lauren DeLisa Coleman. She specialises in millennial culture and how millennials impact business and governance. Good morning, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Actually, still evening here, Saturday night in New York City. But yeah, I'm so glad to be invited to be on this show. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you. The title of the article gives us one talking point for sure. It's called "The 37-Year-Olds Are Afraid of the 23-Year-Olds Who Work for Them," which made me laugh. But give me the essence of the piece. I gather it's caused quite a stir, hasn't it?
Well, when I saw that headline as well, that made me laugh. Of course, you always have to have like the attention-grabbing headline, right? Or else nobody's going to read it. So, you know, I always think that headlines are a little bit exaggerated, you know, unless it's something that's, you know, dealing with the world crisis or something like that. But, I mean, I think, you know, to say fearful is somewhat exaggerating. I think that there's always, since the history of time, right, there's always going to be a bit of tension or tug of war back and forth between, you know, the generations. That's each generation's job, right? And the younger one, that's their job, is to make sure that the one that's, you know, previous knows that, you know, they're corny and they don't know anything, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, you know, in this case, it's really particularly interesting with this, like, kind of set of, you know, this age range. I mean, I think that 18 to 24, 34, more or less, has always been historically that which kind of sees culture in a new way. But this one is, I think, particularly interesting and insightful just because of a lot of different energies going on within the world and more. I mean, I spoke a bit about this at a marketing conference called the QSP Summit in Portugal in September. And I, you know, I just love this topic so much because it's, I think that this demographic is just so misunderstood. What is really important, I think, to wrap your arms around is that, like, this generation was talking about, like, work from home before the pandemic started and all that, right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And they were all said to be lazy. They don't understand how the world works, how business works. Like, you know, why do you want to do this, right? And then as soon as the pandemic hit, what happened? Oh, I guess we all have to work from home and figure it out, right? I don't think that they get enough
credit
a lot
for that.
Of times,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
Can you tell that I'm a little bit biased? I always say I was 18 to 24, 34 before I hit this group, and I will be that 90-year-old in the nightclub talking about, like, that's the hot track. I think it's just really, yeah, it's important. And I think a lot of the reasons why, you know, various, well, just smaller businesses right up to corporations are still trying to quote unquote figure it out in terms of working from home is that they aren't really listening to this demographic, which knew well before that we had the technology and the understanding and that our culture is at a level where you don't have to be chained to a desk inside of a glass box all day, every day.
You know, having new blood in a company, having young people in a company is invariably a good thing, okay? We know that because they bring fresh ideas, because they're connected into a generation that, as, you know, someone in their 40s like me probably isn't connected to. So they bring a lot of wisdom. But a couple of the sort of elements, a couple of the angles from this article talk about how actually older people are quite surprised sometimes by the front of Gen Z. So I'll give some examples as detailed.
Okay.
Managers were distressed to encounter young employees who wanted time off when coping with anxiety or period cramps. At another company, a Gen Z worker questioned why she would be expected to clock in for a standard 8-hour day when she might get through her to-do list by the afternoon. Youngest members of the workforce at another company demanding what they see as a long overdue shift away from corporate neutrality to a more open expression of values. I think some people might presume or may have encountered, how do I term this properly? Maybe that younger people have got a bit of cheek, have got a bit of front by boldly suggesting things, even if they're good ideas, but kind of boldly suggesting things to senior management that might be sort of seen as a bit demanding, a little bit entitled?
Well, I think if you're not bold in any situation, you don't get anything, right? I mean, whether you're looking at like massive scenarios like civil rights movement or whatever, I mean, you have to be loud. I think that's where the adage, you know, the squeakiest wheel gets the oil comes from, right? But I could see how somebody who is more senior or an EVP, executive vice president level, might not know how to really interact with that. I mean, I think that corporations, though, who were listening to this demographic were out front in terms of being able to respond better to calls to activism, to all that, which, you know, began with George Floyd and more, right? There is this idea around brand citizenship that brands that didn't understand that they are much bigger in the world and have responsibilities, those who pushed back on that, you know, they were caught like kind of scrambling. And I think we saw this as well during the pandemic. So, you know, I mean, maybe it depends on how one, in any instance, kind of, you know, frames things or phrases things. I will say, though, on the other side of that, I have had my own experience of interacting with some millennials who are like, you know, I just don't feel mentally up for it today. You know, there's, I think, just the understanding that younger people kind of don't have a grasp on how money is actually made and quarters and certain, you know, kind of goals that need to be met for Q1, Q2, et cetera. That means I need you to be doing something. I get that there's maybe a mental kind of thing going on right now, but how are we going to work that out later? Are you going to maybe do some of the things that you were going to be working on Saturday, or, you know, how will we work that out? Because I think it's about anything, you know, meeting in the middle. But I'm all for, you know, change, especially as a woman of color. I think that it is always good to have dialogue and for new things to happen and to be confronted. It helps us all understand what are our values, you know, really. Do we think that going, you know, to work every day is only about, you know, that check? Or should it be more? Can it be more? Is it already that? And is it, does it have to be a zero-sum game? So yeah, there's some cheek, but cheek isn't always a bad thing, is it?
Yeah, it's true. And actually, maybe these, you know, brave, some would say entitled Gen Zs have something. Maybe they are not going to doff their cap to the older people in their company and live by their rules, and they're going to bring in their own rules instead. There's sort of an interesting difference referenced to in the article about the difference between millennials and Gen Z. So millennials being the generation before Gen Z. And it points out that many millennials came into their positions after the 2008 financial crisis. And so therefore were it was drilled into them that they were lucky to find work. It was in the days of startups where everyone would be in the office all hours, be your best self, do a job you love, even if it's for free, you know, absolutely slaving away to try and achieve success, whatever success looked like. And that Gen Z has meanwhile come into a different sort of workplace and just simply will not tolerate that kind of level of working all night, the kind of level of expectation that they must be in the office, that there are, you know, working lunches, working dinners, working suppers, and that it kind of goes on. So it's an interesting comparison there between the two generations side by side.
Well, I think maybe two things to that. I think it always depends on the industry, right? I don't think that, for example, Goldman Sachs has had an issue with, you know, younger people to a certain extent saying, you know what, I'm out of here because this is just not working for me. I think if you go into the financial industry, you know that there's kind of a different set of rules there where, you know, it's almost like a badge that's, you know, kind of gathered from working so many hours. And you have certainly a lot of benefits from doing that, right? A lot of financial benefits. So, you know, again, I think it really depends upon, you know, where one is working, as always. And I also think it's important to understand, and I talk about this a little bit in my ebook, you know, to be able to understand that there is an interesting kind of overlap between what I call a senior Gen Z and a junior millennial, right? Mm. If you have like somebody at the older end of that first scale and the younger end of that second scale, they're going to like kind of probably pair a little bit better in terms of values and thoughts than say somebody who's like, you know, just hit Gen Z. Well, they probably wouldn't even be working just yet, but let's just say earlier Gen Z, and the tail end of millennials, right? That's going to be a bigger spread because there's a lot of stuff that happens in our minds and all that. That's dramatically, you know, different from, you know, certain from teens to like early 20s and all that. And, you know, just the idea that like even the executive function of our brain, which understands consequence and choice and all that, does not even fully form until we're 25. And I doubt that that's like right at midnight at 24, right? A lot of those things, you know, just kind of all come into play in terms of, you know, just interaction in general. I think that that's never really like kind of discussed enough, right? This, you can't clump anything all together. The only thing that both of those demographics are doing is, you know, breathing, right? Yeah. But it's going to be a little bit different.
You know, tough if you're running a business. There's another example here about a woman, she's 30. She co-founded a retail technology business. And one of her Gen Z employees basically sent her a message and said, "Hey, I woke up and I'm not in a good place mentally. I'm not going to come in today." And she said it was a dilemma for her because she wanted to applaud their efforts to prioritize well-being, fair enough. But then you're left a person short in your business. And so your bottom line might be affected because someone's not kind of feeling up to coming into work. And so therefore they're not going to come in. And so, you know, you're sort of in danger here, aren't you, of, you know, basically the older generations slugging away for the younger generations to prioritize well-being. And if you own a business, you have to decide whether you want to let that person have the day off because they're not feeling great, or whether old school wise, you just say to them, "Well, you know, sorry, but you're going to have to come in."
Yeah. Well, I mentioned that, like, you know, myself, I have, you know, been, or rather experienced all of that. And it's been, I guess, particularly important to me because it's part of, or it kind of, I guess, impacted at the time, a nonprofit that I had just recently started called Game Change, right? That is really intended to be able to support women of color working in leadership positions at the intersection of emerging tech and like mass media and entertainment, right? Yeah, so anytime it's a nonprofit, you're super into it, right? Not to say that for profit you aren't, but you know, you see a bigger issue there. And one of the kind of people I had brought on board, and in all fairness, we were all doing this out of just the good of it and knowing that we would get funding at some point, but we weren't, you know, paid. But I encountered that like several times with this person, and I think I could understand it, but it would just come up, you know, very frequently and out of the blue. And it was when, you know, you have, especially if you're a type A like me, I had, okay, so from like 2 o'clock to 2:15, this is going to happen. Then 2:15 to 2:21, okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's very, very challenging for somebody like that, who, and that type of person is usually running a business or running a department. So yeah, it's challenging, but I think that,
How did you respond when you got messages like that, sort of people saying,
my whole scenario was like, how can we meet in the middle? Because I also think you're going to be a little bit tested too. If you can remember back to when you were that age, weren't you trying to figure out like if your manager, your VP was really that together or not? I mean,
I don't think I was. I think I was just working hard and
really,
I wouldn't dare to take a day off if I'd got period cramps. I mean, I would be expected to be in, and so I would be in.
Well, I'm not saying whether you would be in or not, but at least like testing, I feel, at least I was always testing those who were more senior to see if they really, I don't know if they really just deserved to be where they were supposed to be.
Really?
I'm always testing them. Yeah. And so it didn't mean I wouldn't come in, but I mean, I'm just testing them to see, you know, 9 times out of 10, really, they're not all that amazing to begin with, sadly, but that's a whole nother story. But I think it's important to meet people in the middle. Quite honestly, I think that I would rather hear why you are not coming in and it is due to physical and or emotional wellness than just be like, I'm sick or I can't come in or my alarm was late or whatever. I'd rather hear that so then I can kind of understand a little bit more. And like I said, meeting in the middle, that's totally fine. When do you think you're going to feel better? Great. How do we make that up? Is that like an hour earlier, like for next week, each day? Do you want to do whatever we were going to be working on, like say Saturday from 9 to 12? What's going to be good for you? Because sometimes you can shift time. Sometimes you can't. But I do think a lot of these conversations need to be had at the beginning. And that's where, like, you know, consultants and things should come into play, because you don't always know if you're somebody older and not really deep into this like I am as a crazy person. You don't know what questions to ask. Yeah. So you need to set that up at the very beginning, just like you would have a relationship, you know, a friend relationship. If a friend, you know, always blows you off, you have to let them know that that actually doesn't work for me. I know that might be cool for your other friends, but that doesn't work for me. Mm. So we either meet in the middle or this is just not going to work.
So but
I think there needs to be more conversation right at the outset, right? Like, we're trying to, like, make an empire here and change the world. I know that certain things are going to come up, but, like, this is how we think that we like to handle them in our culture. Does that work for you? Do you have any other suggestions on how, if it doesn't?
Yeah, and then, so throwing, you know, it back ahead in their court. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, because people want to be respected, I think, at the end of the day.
Okay. Listen, Lauren, it's been really interesting to speak to you. It's a really interesting topic, isn't it? Whether Gen Z are intimidating, how we deal with them. Do we celebrate their fresh ideas and their different approach, or do we bring them down a peg or two? Lauren DeLisa
like
Coleman.
I said, probably somewhere in the middle, but yes, it's been fun talking with you too.
Thank you. Lauren DeLisa Coleman, Digital Cultural Trend Analyst. Thanks for joining us on Times Radio.